Hello, welcome to the self-learning platform by Dr. Sushma Singh. Today we start Unit 11, Regional Movements. We start with topic types of regionalism. Iqbal Narain has identified three major types of regionalism or regional movements in India. Suprastate regionalism, interstate regionalism and intrastate regionalism. Suprastate regionalism is built around the issues of common interest in which group of states form a common political alliance directed against either the similar alliance of other states or the union. Suprastate regionalism is issue specific and is, as Narain writes, confined to certain matter on which the group would like to take a common and joint stand. It is not at all a case of a total and permanent merger of state identities in the group identity. In fact, rivalries, tensions, and even conflicts continue to take place at time even simultaneously with group postures, South versus North in India, on such issues as language or the location of steel plants illustrate the point. Compared to this, interstate regionalism, as he further observes, is coterminous with state boundaries and involves juxtaposing of one or more state identities against another on specific issues which threatens their interest. River water in general and border dispute in particular can be cited as example. On the other hand, a regional community against the state in which they are situated spearheads intrastate regionalism. Intrastate regionalism is aimed at assuring oneself of self-identity and self-development. This self gradually becomes weak when we move on to other two forms of regionalism. In the case of intrastate regionalism, it is identity around which groups of political and economic interest are defined. But in other two cases, it is conflict of interest, either between two states or between the center and the state, which temporarily give the people a sense of togetherness and a common political outlook. But the essence of regionalism always remains the same in all the category of regionalism. As a political idiom, regionalism seeks federalization, pluralization of national identity and resources. In other words, it is an ideology of territorializing the process of federal nation building. It is probably the reason for regionalism has been described as inbuilt tendency of nationalism and federalism. It is a complex amalgam of geographical, historical, culture, economic, politico, administrative and psychic factors. What factors will assume ascendancy in the making of a regional movement is difficult to say. However, regional movement in any case will always seek a redefinition of the relationship between a regional and national on a more substantive basis. Next topic is states' response to regional movements. States' response to regional movement has been varying. We do not find any consistent policy in this regard. However, certain patterns and principles can be discerned in this regard. They are: secessionist demand could not be conceded. Rather, secessionism would be suppressed by all necessary means. Central government would not concede those regional demands based on exclusively upon religious differences, and the demands for the creation of separate linguistic would not be considered unless such a demand is socially wide and economically viable. To illustrate, there could not be any singular construct or formation of the units of Indian Federation. Units should be composite one. Such a composite unit could be formed only by mutual balancing of four principles, which the State's Reorganization Commission, SRC, underlined as: preservation and strengthening of the unity and security of India, linguistic and cultural homogeneity, financial, economic and administrative concentrations, and successful working of national plan. Other factors like people's wish, historicity of the region, and geographical contiguity could have only limited but qualificatory application. While drawing the boundary of the unit of the Indian Union, thus wishes of the people can be acceptable as one of the yardsticks of the territorial readjustment only when it is objectively ascertainable and is subjected to the overall considerations of other important factors like human and material resources of the areas claiming statehood, the wishes of substantial minorities, the essential requirements of the Indian Constitution, and the large national interests. Similarly, historicity of a region can be invoked only to the extent of determining the connectedness of the people with claimed territory, but it could not be stretched to an extent as a convert them into a separate nation. Though geographical contiguity is the high value in determining and devising the boundary of a state, it does not necessarily imply or involve the need for a geographical frontier. Thus, while drawing the lines between two units, the primary concern, as the SRC underlined, should be of ensuring compactness of the units. Within the above totalistic approach to reorganization, the Commission strongly recommended for the creation of large states. This, however, as Commission writes, does not mean that the units should be so unwieldy as to be without any instinct life of their own, or to defeat the very purpose for which larger units are suggested. Administrative efficiency and coordination of economic development and welfare activity. Thus, in the opinion of the Commission, the size principle must be balanced with the viability principle. This, in other words, means that the region seeking separate statehood must have adequate financial resources to maintain itself and to develop its economy. Though Commission upheld the principle of internal homogeneity purely from the viewpoints of smooth functioning of administration, it nonetheless rejected the monolingual and unicultural construction of the state. It is precisely the reason that it rejected the homeland concept and one language, one state formula for the reorganization of the units of Indian Federation. However, within the regional general principle of sizable composite state, a cultural group can have its own state when they do qualify the following twofold criteria. The people claiming a distinctive culture must constitute a recognizable group, that is to say, it should include a number of persons sufficient by themselves to claim, conserve, and develop stable traditions or the characteristics of their culture, and such cultural indivisibility should be capable of being expressed in terms of a defined sizable geographical entity. However, such a cultural basis of state's reorganization should not impede the intermingling of two cultures and overall growth of composite national culture. What appears from above is that every recognizable and dominant basis of states reorganization must be subjected to the test of maintenance of national unity and integrity and national security. On the basis of HRC's recommendation, the Government of India passed in November 1956 the State Reorganization Act. The Act endorsed the bulk of the recommendations of SRC, except the merger of Hyderabad State into Andhra Pradesh and Vidarbha was made part of Bombay State. Thus, the members of the states were reduced from 16 to 14 in this act. However, the number of centrally administered territories was enhanced from 3 to 6. The major inclusion was Himachal Pradesh and Tripura. Since then, the numbers of states have been increased to 28 and union territories to 7. States formed since 1956 include Gujarat in 1960s, Nagaland in 1963, Haryana in 1966, Punjab in 1966, Himachal Pradesh in 1971, Manipur in 1972, Meghalaya in 1972, Tripura in 1972, Sikkim in 1975, Arunachal Pradesh in 1987, Mizoram in 1987, and Goa in 1987, Jharkhand in 2000, Uttaranchal in 2000, and Chhattisgarh in 2000. With the formation of three new states of Uttaranchal, Jharkhand and Chhattisgarh, reorganizations have been effected for the first time in the Hindi heartland of Bihar Uttar Pradesh and Madhya Pradesh. As stated above, the reorganization was first effected in 1956 in the south. It moved down to northwest in 1966 and northeast in 1971 and 1987. In all these reorganizations, the basis of reorganization also differs. The first reorganization was done predominantly on the basis of language. In Northwest in 1966, linguistic principle was combined with religious identity. Initially, this seems to be a perilous combination, having stronger tendency of drifting towards separatism. However, democracy has its own way to prevent separatism and promote integration. In the third major reorganization affecting mostly the northeast region, tribal affiliations and the distinctive ethnic features became the major basis of the reorganization. The formation of three states in all probabilities may have domino effect on the Hindi heartland and other composite plural and large sized states. Reorganization in these states may not be purely ethnic or cultural, but it may be on the basis of economic specificity and ecological cultural distinctiveness. Cultural specificity may, in some case, as in the movement for Mithranchal state, owe to language or dialect, but in no case it would be owe exclusively to religion or ethnicity. In fact, most of the subregions of composite plural states have developed and articulated a composite cultural identity. With initial reluctance, the Government of India is now applying the provisions of 5th and 6th stool of the Indian Constitution, with intended objective of containing ethnic separatism and tribal alienation in different regions, particularly in the northeast. Institutionally, the government seems to be receptive to the creation of autonomous regional councils or district councils for the people of ethnic enclaves, which otherwise may not qualify for separate states. Regional council is an experiment in the community governance, wherein the concerned regional communities have powers to relegate its identity and development. Similarly, the state language policy is now being fine-tuned to accommodate the claims of various dialect or language groups. The government has embarked on twofold policies: one, to include the major languages in 8th schedule, and two, granting official recognition to culturally significant languages of the state as language of education and official transaction. All these policies have significant impact on integrating diverse regional community within the mold and measures of Indian nationalism. We find a positive change in the official attitude towards regionalism and regional movement. Government can concede ethnic claims of self-governance within the permissible autonomy framework of Indian Constitution. Now, regionalism is very much integral to the process of nationalism and federalism. In fact, the Constitution of India itself recognizes the notion of an autonomous region. It is with the extension of cultural autonomy and initiation of democratic process with officially earmarked economic package of development that India has been able to contain ethnic separatism and making regionalism ultimately the part and parcel of national life. Now let us sum up the unit. To sum up, regional movements are indicative of the identity movements of the people in a particular region or state, which seek special privileges, protection, and concessions from the state. There are both imaginary and real reasons for the rise and growth of these movements. Ever since India became independent, regional movements have taken in different parts of the country on one or the other basis. Territorial ethnicity or economic backwardness of the agitating areas. The response of the state to regional movements has not been uniform. Depending on the situation, the state has been indifferent, accommodative, or coercive to such movements. Since regional movements are related to the socio-cultural and political processes, these are an ongoing phenomena in a democratic country like India. Here we want to wind up this lecture and we have come to the end of the unit. Thank you so much for your attention.